What's up and welcome to the 56th episode of the Industry Outsiders Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Lowry. With me is Josh Hensel.
I self-destruct too much. That's a Smash thing.
Oh, okay. So Smash Brothers came out.
Yes, it did.
Sucks. Don't like it.
Oh, Lord. Let's talk about that later, though. I want to talk about what happened before Smash came out first. You know what I mean?
Fallout 76?
No, I mean the Game Awards, but okay, or the Red Dead Redemption Awards, as I like to think about it as. But because you know, one thing that I thought was funny about that was how, leading up to it, obviously, like I know that like there's all the announcements that they might have there. So like you know, I see a post on IGN one of the days before. They're like, "Oh, here's our five predictions for it," and then I got kind of hyped about it. So I went looking to hear other people's predictions, and then as you remember, I was complaining about the other day, I pull up the Kind of Funny Games cast, and like I was trying to listen because it was like, oh, the Game Awards 2018 prediction episode. I'm like, sweet. And then I got pissed because they talked about Fallout 76 for 45 minutes before they got to the Game Awards.
Yeah.
And I was pissed because like obviously I had my own expectations for what predictions meant, and they were talking about the actual awards, and I was annoyed at the time because I wanted to hear speculation about announcements. But now looking back on it, I realized that I feel like I should give them kind of credit for that because I feel like they talked about the actual awards more than the Game Awards did.
Yeah, that's a problem with the Game Awards. So, you know, I wasn't actually really entertained this year. It's like the third year in a row I watched them, and they keep trying to make it more and more like what?
Three.
Well, yeah, I enjoy it to be more of a presentation with like world premieres and stuff because as far as the awards aspect of it goes, they really don't focus on it that much. They just rattle off, like, best RPG happened during the pre-show. Like, best role-playing game of the year isn't even a thing, but they've got, like, a bunch of esports announcements to make.
Yeah, that killed me, because, like, oh, here's best esports team, which I get has an audience, but it's like, you're really going to give that an actual presentation during the show rather than, like, a legit popular genre?
Mm-hmm. One of the most popular genres.
Care about.
Yeah. And because of that, I honestly don't remember who won.
Monster Hunter World won. I'm sure you were thrilled about, remember?
Well, you know, give them their participation trophy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of Red Dead Redemption cleaning up.
Surprised they didn't win RPG.
But Game of the Year was not Red Dead Redemption. It was God of War.
No.
Which is
that was an upset. I'm surprised by that.
It's very impressive because God of War is a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Dead is on PlayStation and Xbox, at least. So
it's not on PC yet, right? I don't think so, at least. None of the Rockstar games are coming on PC at the same time as console.
Yeah, no. They focus on console, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I was just actually thinking about a game that was on console. I can't remember. Maybe I'll remember later. I was going into all kinds of video game thoughts last night because I was actually playing.
Yeah. Well, here, let me just real quick here since I have it pulled up here. I'll just rattle through all the winners here. Yeah, Game of the Year, obviously God of War. Best ongoing game was Fortnite, which I'm not surprised by. Best game direction, God of War. Cool, even though I thought that was going to end up being Red Dead Redemption 2 again, because best narrative, Red Dead Redemption 2. Best art direction, The Return of Oberdin, which is a game I've never heard of, but good for them. Best score, Red Dead Redemption. Best audio design, Red Dead Redemption. Best performance, Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan, Red Dead Redemption. Games for Impact, Celeste, which I thought was pretty cool because I'm glad that game won some of the awards it was voted for, nominated for, because while I haven't played it, I liked it. It's more of an indie title.
I'm going to pause you right there,
mainstream
actually.
Success. Yeah.
Because with Celeste, my biggest complaint about Celeste was that it tried to focus too much on this like mental health awareness aspect of its narrative. And I didn't think
that's why it won all this.
It did, but I think there's other games out there that do that better. And I just think that for some reason Celeste at the beginning of last year, or beginning of this year, kind of got thrown to the forefront because of that, where it was really just a really good platformer with great music and a fun little adventure, kind of like Super Meat Boy, little indie game. But
but
what they were trying to do as far as kind of tell, like, it was like you're discovering the character's mental health issues through
platforming.
Yeah, through the struggle to get through the levels, but also like the duality of Celeste and the antagonist is like is her mental health issue.
Like and her inner demons, kinda.
Yeah, like her like alter ego that has all the problems, and Celeste kinda, you know, works towards conquering that. Yeah. And to me it just felt forced. And it really was like you could come up with more subtle ways to implement that into your game rather than be like, this game's about mental health issues. And then everyone else is like, well, we can't say it's a bad game because of that. We kind of have to like say it's a good game. Like,
it's 2018. That's what sells.
Yeah, you can't be like, yeah, the game's about mental health issues, but you did a bad job delivering that. Everything else was good, but here's your award for, you know, I don't know. I don't think it really deserved that.
And I didn't know this until just now looking at this list because, you know, I obviously don't know this being the professional that I am, but I didn't know the studio that makes Celeste is called Matt Makes Games.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of Celeste, they also won Best Independent Game here. Best Mobile Game, Florence, which is a game I've never heard of. I thought that Fortnite was going to win that one, hands down, but I guess not. Best VR Game, Astrobot, which I know you and Jill like a lot.
I only played the demo for Astrobot, but it's very impressive, again, to see Astrobot win as best VR game because it's only on PlayStation VR.
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, I get VR AR. But best action game is Dead Cells. Best action adventure game, God of War. Best RPG was Monster Hunter. Best fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ, which I was very pleased about because that was probably my favorite game of the year up until that point. Best family game, Overcooked 2. I wasn't surprised by that one because I know that game is really popular and also very accessible. So, best strategy game is Into the Breach. I thought that Frostpunk was going to win that, but apparently not. Best sports racing was Forza Horizon 4. Best multiplayer, Fortnite. Best student game, Combat 2018. I don't know any of this nonsense. Best debut indie game, Messenger. Best esports game, Overwatch, which I don't know if I thought they were going to win this year, mainly because the game's like 3 years old at this point. But then again, they just started their fancy Overwatch League this year, so I guess that probably helped. They had best esports player. I didn't know who any of these guys are, except for the one who won, which was Sonic Fox. And he was great when he came out to accept his award. I thought he was so excited, and he was like flustered. I thought that was funny when he came up in his friggin' fursuit. That was great. And I love the picture of him like pushing Reggie aside, moving out of his eye of his seat, going up to accept this award. Best esports team, Cloud9, one of the only teams I know. Esports coach, Bak Hangyu, or Reaperd, whatever his name is. Best esports event, League of Legends World Championship. There's so many of these categories, and I don't remember them talking about 90% of them.
Yeah.
Best esports host was, I don't know how to say his name. All right, best esports moment was Cloud9 comeback in League of Legends, I think, whatever. And then content creator of the year was Ninja, who, of course, Ninja, because he's the guy who makes $17 billion in a year playing Fortnite and hanging out with a weird Muppet on stage.
Who's on Ellen?
Yeah. Was awesome. He?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like, well, how could he not win?
That's all the categories for the awards, but I mean, I feel like that's not what we want to talk about for that, because I know even the Game Awards doesn't want to talk about the Game Awards.
No, let's talk about the shit that matters, like the announcements. Yes. Especially the very last announcement, which is a huge shock.
Yeah, that, I think, definitely, because I'm not a Persona guy. I know that Persona is huge this year, but Persona probably came out this year, right? Or was it the end of last year?
I think it was March 2017. Or April 2017.
Oh, so that was a while ago then. Shit.
February. I don't know.
But that was cool. I mean, obviously, what we're referring to, in case you don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know, but, you know, Joker is going to be the first DLC character for Smash. And I loved that announcement specifically because, you know, leading up to the release of Smash Ultimate, you know, you had all the speculation about DLC characters. You have all the speculation about the character that was in the base game, the leaks. There are people pirating the game. So everybody kind of knew. And I feel like that's kind of why Nintendo, at least with the base roster, kind of just put it all out front when they revealed it at E3, like everyone's here. So it's like, now you can't leak it. It's all there. And then there was the whole shit with, like, you know, Simon Belmont leaked. Then there was the Grinch League or whatever, and the other one that went with that, which was the whole bunch of bullshit. And anybody who believed the Grinch League was a moron, because it's like, do you really think that a month before this game comes out, they're just going to reveal 7 new characters in one direct? Like, get real. But this, I feel, was a lot like when they revealed Cloud for Smash 4, where it was just nobody saw that coming. Like, it was just the curviest of curveballs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, I didn't know what they were really getting at, because the Persona Dance games just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're coming out next week. And so I thought it might have had something to do with that. But then it just switched to, like, Joker joins the battle.
Yeah, there was only one, like, during that whole little trailer there where they leaded it up to the whole thing where he flips around the Smash envelope or whatever. Anybody watching that, you know, who is just who's probably like me spending the whole award show waiting for them to do some kind of Nintendo announcement or a Smash announcement, because everybody thought they were going to do exactly what they ended up doing, even if they didn't know who was going to be. The only indication that I feel they had that I kind of picked up on, and I feel like some of the people I watched them reaction videos picked up on, where, you know, you guys like, oh, he's here to steal a treasure, and like, did you send a calling card? Mm-hmm. And then their girl is like, oh, we didn't send a card this time, in fact we've been invited. And I noticed that some of the people picked up on it, like, invited, and then they're somehow they jumped right to Smash, I guess probably because they've been waiting for it. But aside from that, they give no indication at all.
Yeah, it was cool. Awesome. And it's really exciting, because not only, you know, as a fan of the series, it's cool because we're probably going to get an amiibo of him. And, like, I can't wait to see what his moves are like and what his final smash is like and what his level is like, hopefully. But also, it really just opens the door for wild speculation of who else could be a character.
It makes it harder to speculate, if anything, because it's, like, opens up the entire gaming world pretty much, potentially, for... Because before, you know, like, oh, they had Cloud, and then you look at Smash, where there's not a lot of contributions from Square Enix, so you think, oh, well, if they barely put anything in, should we expect them to give us a character at any point? I mean, they could later, who knows, but that just blows everything away. It really does.
Yeah, so that was the Game Awards. Next.
Wait a minute. There's, like, 2 more things that I can think of off the top of my head that happened at the Game Awards that I think we should talk about. One of which, you know, they teased leading up to that, which was the Far Cry New Dawn.
Oh, that looks awesome. And it's cool because it's like it seems like a direct sequel to 5. So at 5, you know, after 5.
Post-apocalyptic sister game. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really interested. I really liked Far Cry 5, and I would be excited to hop into Far Cry 6, especially if it takes place in basically the same area, but years later after the bomb drop.
Yeah, and I feel like at the end of that reveal trailer, I mean, obviously, I don't know a ton about Far Cry 5. I barely played it, and I was horribly ill when I played it, so I didn't really pay much attention to it. But, like, did they kind of tease the guy there from Far Cry 5? What's his name? The cult leader dude? Because don't
father or some shit like that. Yeah, he's
in one of the endings. He takes you down to the bunker with him or whatever, doesn't he? Right? Or some shit like that.
Yeah, so basically,
he was like, I knew it was coming, but I didn't expect it to be like this or some shit.
Yeah. So there's another trailer that I saw on YouTube with a little bit more detail, and it has him in it. Like,
oh, okay.
It seems like, you know, he survived the end of Far Cry 5. And he almost might be a protagonist this time.
Really?
That's
Did
what
you realize he was wrong? Or some shit, maybe?
It may be. Or maybe he just, because he's not the one in control, he's going to, like, team up with you to go after him. Or maybe you play as him.
Yeah, possibly. That'd be interesting. But they had that. They announced the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which is the Switch exclusive, and I thought that was neat. I thought the old games were fun.
Yeah, that's good.
They talked about Anthem, which I feel like that's all they're ever going to do is talk about it, because I don't think that game's ever going to fucking come out.
Anthem's going to be a complete waste of everyone's time and money. I don't think...
All right.
When Anthem comes out, I don't think anyone's going to pay... You know, I'm not anyone, but, you know, I don't think a majority of people are going to drop $60 on it, and when they could just keep playing Fortnite for free, and all their friends are doing that. Like, you know, I'm not playing Fortnite, but I'm not interested in Anthem either.
Yeah. Is Anthem free to play, or is it a full release game?
Anthem is a full release. To me, it just seems like Destiny.
I'm thinking of Warframe because I always fucking confuse those games.
Warframe's going to have a big 2019. That's what I anticipate. I feel like Warframe is just growing and growing. I'm not playing it. I don't know anyone who's playing it, and it gets bigger every year. So it just seems to be doing fine.
Mm-hmm. They also had teased it in the days before and announced the Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel, which I'm actually pretty hyped about. Yeah. And at the right price, I will play it because I didn't have a PS1 growing up, but I did spend a fair amount of time playing Crash Team Racing, and it is a great game. And I am, at this point, I mean, obviously I'll have to try both of them, but I'm leaning more towards Crash Racing than I am the new Sonic Racing game because it looks cool. I know the Sonic Racing games control really well, but it just doesn't seem like it's very flashy or it seems kind of bare bones. I don't know.
It does.
You know, I would say it just doesn't seem like it has a lot of meat to it, and I don't know. Crash Team Racing, I know what to expect, especially if they add anything to it. And for me specifically, the one thing I was waiting for, aside from the potential Nintendo and or Smash announcement, was the fact that they announced finally Mortal Kombat 11, and that it's literally coming out in 5 months. So they literally waited till almost the end of development to announce the game, and then I think next month they're going to have the community reveal. The trailer for that was really cool. It was obnoxiously violent, as it should be, as anything Mortal Kombat related is required to be, except for Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo. But, you know, it looks interesting because you got weird emo edgelord Reaper Raiden fighting Scorpion there at the beginning, like he was all shit at the end of Mortal Kombat X. Mm-hmm. And I feel like then the other Scorpion shows up and kills him. And then there was the weird lady at the end with the weird hourglass. So I think there's going to be some kind of fucked up time travel plot. And that should be fun because the story mode in NetherRealm games is always great, whether it's Mortal Kombat or Injustice. So I think that's going to be really cool. And the fact that they let into it where they had Ed Boon come out on stage and they were like, here's Ed Boon to announce the winner for best sports or racing game. And he's like, let's see the nominees. And it goes into it. And then they had the Scorpion Spear go through the screen. And then at the end, he's like, oh, shit, I think they showed the wrong video.
That's awesome.
I like that. I love stupid gimmicks like that.
Yeah, and probably at least one more thing we should talk about with the Game Awards, that moment where they brought out Sean Layton, Reggie Fils-Aimé, and Phil Spencer. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was like the gathering of the gods right there. It was like the most ambitious crossover in entertainment history.
Yeah, I honestly thought that that might have been like a moment where they're going to announce some sort of like initiative to make everything crossplay from now on, or like just something. You know, I didn't think they were going to announce like a monopoly on games, like they're going to put out their own console or something, or like their own.
Oh God!
But I thought they were going to maybe announce like some sort of collaboration.
Yep. I can see that.
But it was kind of just starting the fucking video game Olympics.
Yeah, but regardless, it was still cool because how often, if ever, do you see all three of them in the same place?
I bet they all wanted to punch each other in the face.
Reggie's like, I got some shit waiting for you guys at the end of the show here, so fucking get ready.
But I bet Sean Layton was happy to win Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
With a Sony exclusive.
Yep. Although speaking of exclusives, one thing I didn't realize after the fact is that I'm very surprised to find out later that Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be on Switch.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I never would have expected, given that, you know, the Switch, compared to the other two systems, isn't necessarily the graphics powerhouse of the three. Not to mention that I feel like there hasn't been a Mortal Kombat game on a Nintendo system since the Wii. And even that was, like, outdated game.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised to see that. I don't know if I'll get it for Switch, but I love that, you know, NetherRealm games in general are at least going to start potentially being on the Switch. That's, you know, a big step in the right direction for them.
Yeah. Speaking of the Switch and like not being a graphics powerhouse, I think it's starting to show its age already. I noticed this when I was playing Pokemon. I'm like 20 something hours into Pokemon and I'm enjoying it, but it's kind of like a slower burn.
Chill game.
But like when I'm playing it in handheld mode, my fan kicks on and it's like I can hear it running and it's blowing like warm air in my face. Like I checked to see how hot the air was and it was pretty warm. And I'm like, there is a little bit of slowdown too when I'm playing Pokemon. So I don't know.
Pokemon, really?
Yeah. So I don't know if maybe Pokemon settings are just a little bit, just not really calibrated, optimized for performance. But I really hope, like I did play Smash in handheld mode and it was fine, but I just hope that they can keep up with, like, I don't want them to like top out already in the second year of their life.
Because next year they're going to do the new model, obviously. It's like, yeah, everybody's expecting it at this point. So right, they're probably going to address some stuff like that, which pisses me off, because I feel like at this point, why am I buying a console within the first year and a half of its life if they're just going to shove a new one down my throat?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, the 3DS, like when I did that 14 times, like I bought, like I had the regular 3DS and I bought the XL simply because, you know, I liked the bigger screen. I wanted it for Smash when that came out. But the 3DS isn't a $400, $300 console. Like, I can get behind that. Like, I can sell my first 3DS and get the other one for a moderate price and be like, okay, cool. I don't have to drop $300 or potentially a little more or less than that just to get an entirely new console.
Well,
after a year.
So when the 3DS originally launched, I think it was like $250, and it didn't sell well. And right away they dropped it to like $190 or like something. It got a price drop within like the first 6 months, I remember. Cause I remember,
really?
Yeah, I remember going to GameStop and actually just demoing the 3DS, the very first one, and seeing like, mm-hmm, oh, it's small, and playing with like the 3D slider and shit. And because I remember, I think Street Fighter 4 was on it or something like that.
That was really cool in 3D too, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But, you know, and now it seems like Nintendo is committing to the Switch as a handheld, which was such a deceiving message when it first launched, and they were like, no, it's a console. It's a console. And I was sitting here on the show being like, it's not a console. It's a handheld that you can dock. Like, it doesn't get any stronger, really. It can run in like 1080p when it's docked, or sometimes the frame rate's higher. But other than that, it's a handheld that you dock. And now they're like, yeah, it's a handheld.
It's just as hot when it's docked, too.
Right. So it gets hotter when it's docked.
Yeah.
Which is a concern, because I think I made a mistake when for some reason, usually what I do if I'm playing and then I have to go to bed, I take it off the dock and I put it in my case so I can bring it to work. Mm-hmm. But I made it to like lunchtime at work the next day and I took it out and it was completely hot. Like, my whole Switch was warm in the back, almost like it was running. Instead of like going into sleep mode and cooling down, it stayed hot in my case for like 12 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it wasn't like it was in my car.
Shit out of it in that case. Like, but the battery went down too, you said, right?
Yeah. Or yeah.
Was it not charged? Oh, shit.
Yeah. If it was on the dock, it was probably getting close to a full charge when I was playing it. Mm-hmm. And then it was at like 36% battery. So something was definitely going while I thought it was in sleep mode.
That's shady right there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but I'm not surprised in the slightest, because, like, don't get me wrong, I love the Switch. Like, especially, I mean, the first few months I had it, I was kind of in the background for me until, like, Mario and then whatever came out. And then since I've been playing it more, I barely ever touch my PS4 anymore. Like, mainly because I'm not really buying a lot of games for it. But, like, regardless of what I'm playing, I have my Switch with me constantly. So it may have some weird little issues, but I feel like as a whole, it does not take away from how great of a system or handheld or whatever you want to call it is.
Yeah. No, I really like it. I like that more Nintendo games are being released for Switch Online. Like, Metroid finally came out, and Ninja Gaiden came out like this week, or maybe next week. But it's just cool. I like it. I like it a lot. And the more games I get for it, the more I like it. Is it
still just NES games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll make a huge announcement if they ever give us something besides just Nintendo games. But for $20 a year, I think what they'll do is they'll raise the price. When they're ready to give us more of like what we would expect from a virtual console, they're going to raise the price of Switch Online.
Which I think is so dumb, because giving us access to these games, I feel like, effectively costs them nothing. It's like, it's not like they have to license this shit. Like, it's their shit. So why, at least, I'm not saying you have to give us everything at once, but I feel like they should be more into the idea of trickling out more games for NES and then eventually slowly getting Super NES, maybe Game Boy, N64, Game Boy Advance. You know, I don't know if they could jump right. I don't think they will ever jump right to GameCube, at least for that. But I feel like if I could play Mario 64 right now, I'd buy the Nintendo Online. Like, I'm probably going to buy it to play Smash. I hadn't bought it yet. But if I'd be like, here's Mario 64, I would buy it in a second. I'd play the shit out of Mario 64.
Yeah.
Like,
I would rebuy most of the games that are on the SNES Classic just so I could play them on my Switch, because I like that full roster, but I want to take it to work. You know, like most of my gameplay during the week, you know, is on my lunch break, and at night I can sit while I'm watching something else playing on my Switch. And I want to, that's how I can finish. That's the only way I can really finish a game these days.
Yeah, that's the best part of the Switch.
Yeah.
Multitask.
Yeah. So I would love to play like Yoshi's Island and Earthbound and all this shit. And I would probably, if I could get them cheap enough, even buy them individually.
I would, because I don't need all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to play. Honestly, I don't even play any of the. I played my SNES Classic before I sold it. I played it like maybe a total of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I played Super Punch Out, and that was. I played Star Fox 2, and that was about it.
I played through a couple things, and I gave it a good effort to get through, like, A Link to the Past and stuff like that. But I, with some of these games, I should probably just use a walkthrough from like the title screen on. Like, who am I trying to oppress by? I just want to play through some of these games for the experience,
right?
But I have this thing where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna turn the game on. I'm gonna go from the title screen. I'm gonna figure it out. But that actually kind of sometimes hurts me if I'm playing something like A Link to the Past where I'm going to the wrong places at the wrong time and doing things out of order, just wasting a lot of time.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems. I mean, I know I'm in the vast minority when it comes to this, but people hold Link to the Past up on a pedestal, and not to say that it doesn't deserve to be there, but I don't like that game.
That's fine. That's fair.
I don't like the 2D Zelda games at all, mainly because, like, obviously my first introduction to Zelda was, you know, Legend of Zelda on NES, and then I went right from that to Ocarina of Time, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just like, and then, you know, Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, all that fucking came out, Majora's Mask, and that was like my, you know, as a kid, that was my, what Zelda was to me. And obviously, I did give the other games a try, but they never really held my attention.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I beat Link to the Past, I beat, like, Four Swords Adventures and all that shit. Although, Four Swords Adventures for a 2D Zelda game, I fucking love, and I feel like that is a game that if you put that out on a Switch, I buy it.
Yeah.
That game is awesome. Like, it's 4-player co-op Zelda. Like, oh, you know, more of his, like, what is the word? A word I heard them say at the fucking Game Awards that made me laugh because I never heard it before was co-opetition.
Oh,
That's what it is, because you're always fighting over rupees and shit. It's just like Super Mario 3D World where you're trying to get the highest score even though you're cooperating to the level together. But, I don't know. That's just me rambling about that because, like, obviously, I'm not going to pick that game up and play it again on an SNES Classic or really buy it on that. Like, give me games I haven't played. Like, I've played Mario World. I've played, you know, Super Punch-Out. I've played Link to the Past. I've played Donkey Kong Country. I beat all those games. I guess those are all the best games that are going to be marquee value.
Right.
So people are going to buy regardless, but I guess that just doesn't work for me personally. But Nintendo Online needs that bad, I think.
You want the option to buy other shit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't mind getting this stuff for free, but my biggest issue with the Switch Online games that are available is that I seem to just always be playing something on Switch anyway. Like, I've bought a lot of full-price releases for Switch, and those cartridges are always in my Switch. And if I finish one, I'm always looking for the next thing I'm going to purchase for my Switch. I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm like, well, there's nothing coming out on Switch or there's nothing I want to pick up, so I'll just play these Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, there's no appeal to it, at least to me, honestly, because, like, I'm not a big retro game guy, at least to a certain point. Like, I appreciate them before they are. They're fun. I'll play them. But, like, if I – obviously, this is not the case. Like, say what? Maybe, like – Mario Odyssey, for example. You buy that game, you beat it, it's like, cool, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're thinking, okay, maybe I'll go play Zelda or something now, or go get the next new game. I'm not thinking to myself, like you just said, I'm like, oh, maybe I should stop and play ice hockey on NES.
Right.
Like fucking, no one's doing that. Maybe they are, but I don't know who they are and why they are.
I think a lot of people are doing Let's Plays of the stuff, which is great and fun.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you an hour to do it. And if you spend 20 minutes with each game, You're still getting your money's worth for the $20 for a year. But I just...
You play Smash Online for an hour, you're getting your fucking money's worth, like...
Right,
or anything.
Right. Oh, which I did. I did that. I don't know if you're ready to talk about Smash, but...
No, let's, yeah, we can get into that because I don't know what the hell else we're going to talk about today.
The very last thing I did last night before I went to bed, I was playing Smash pretty much most of my all last night. I went online. I got in a fight. It was like a random, like the rules are random kind of. It was a 2v2 and
yeah,
my side won. So I'm 1-0, undefeated online in Smash.
Well, I mean, if you're in a 2v2, isn't that kind of like a, you're one of two people, so it's like a 0.5-0? I mean, that's not to take that away from you.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
How was the connection, though, for a four-player match?
The connection was fine. I didn't have any sort of issues. You know, it didn't seem like it was lagging. I didn't realize I was in a 2v2 match for a while, though, so I was just trying to hit the person on my team, and I thought, like, he was lagging. He was, like, glitched out.
Okay.
But I had no problems. But I also don't know what I'm doing in Smash.
Yeah, Smash is deceptive. It's like really simple, but also deceptively complex. Like getting a handle on the base of way to play that game, you're good. You can fucking, as long as you can survive, know how to, you know, move around and survive, you can button mash your way through that game if you wanted to. But if you wanted to learn more, there's a huge multiple layers to it, which is, I understand it. I'm just not very good at a lot of like more complex stuff. Like I don't really try to get into that, but I feel like I should, because the people that I play with are a lot better than me because of that reason. So I'm always just like, okay, maybe I'll just go play it by myself in handheld mode for a little while so I don't get tilted here.
But yeah, you know,
like last night I was at Bushy's house and we were just playing like 8-player Smash, and it kind of went down into the 4 people, and then we played Smashdown, which was cool. I liked that a lot, where, you know, you play like what, like 14 matches, I think, or 10 matches. And every time a match ends, whichever characters you picked are taken away from you in the roster. So they just keep shrinking until there's four or eight characters left, which is neat because it forces you to play different characters. And to say, if like you're playing against somebody where it's like, oh shit, I know this guy's good with like Donkey Kong, I'm going to pick Donkey Kong so that for the rest of this, he can't play Donkey Kong.
Right.
But, you know, we played all those matches, and I think I have a dozen or so that were there. I won one of them, and then I felt bad about it because there was, like, 4 of us, and then the breakdown for victories at the end was, like, of the 4 players, there was 7-1-1-7. So 2 people were obviously much better than the other 2, which annoyed me, but what are you going to do? I haven't played Squad Strike, whatever it's called, yet, but that seems pretty cool, where you kind of pick your team. And then you secretly put one order in, and then you just go at it, kind of like Tekken or Soul Calibur.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Have you played World of Light yet, or Spirit Board or anything?
Yeah, I played both of them. The first thing I jumped into was the World of Light, and that was good for me as somebody who doesn't know what character they really want to play as. And just they start you with Kirby, and then you have a choice. And basically, I would just go and, you know, you run up to a spirit, and you're going to fight that level and try to unlock that spirit. I'll just go whichever spirit I wanted to unlock. Because there's so many directions that you can go in that it was kind of just like, I don't know what direction I'm going in. And I don't even care what character I'm unlocking, like what path I'm taking. So I'll just grab whichever spirit was from a game that I would want to collect. But there's 1,300 spirits, so it's just like no rush to get them all. And I liked it a lot, but I found it to be difficult because you start with Kirby, and then I unlocked, I think, Marth and Mario. You know, you're limited in the beginning, so you don't really. But
I think Kirby is, I mean, obviously people joke because Sakurai is the, you know, like Kirby's his child, but like Kirby is probably the best choice, I think, for them to use as the first character you play as, because like he's easy to understand. And for people who might be new to the game and have trouble like not killing themselves, he's the character that has like 5 jumps. So, you know, if you're just figuring out how to play, he's easy to survive and play with and figure out the basics of the game, even though if you go from him to like Marth, who has much more limited recovery options. But, you know, Kirby obviously is one of the most accessible characters, and I didn't even think about that until it was pointed out to me. But that's kind of genius, honestly.
Yeah, it was very difficult for me at first to like catch my bearings, and a lot of times I was falling off the level. Like most of the time I would just die because I would fall off the level one way or the other. So once I realized I needed to like not just rush the other player, but like try to position myself in a place where I wouldn't get knocked off And then I actually ended up switching my controls around because it felt very unnatural to me to not have the jump button be like where the X button is on the PlayStation controller. Like the like the lower button, which would be A on an Xbox controller.
And if you need that, I don't think you'd really... While I still am one of those people that thinks it's the best way to play, I don't know if the GameCube controller would be best for you.
No.
Because, I mean, like, if you need to be an X where the Xbox... Or X where a PlayStation controller is, or I guess A on an Xbox controller, like, you look at something like this, and it's like, okay, that's the exact opposite of what I want. Like, here's your A button. I guess you probably would want to have B jump for you, maybe. But, I mean, I don't know if you how you felt about tap to jump, but I know that... At the beginning, X and Y are your jump buttons, but...
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I want my lowest button to be A, just like where it would be if I was playing any platformer.
Yeah.
You know? And once I changed some of my controls, I got used to it, like... But I didn't even know how to, like, fire off a Final Smash. I had to, like, Google that. Because they're...
It's just the B button.
Well, it's the B button when you're not pressing anything. So I was kind of like... I would obtain a Final Smash and ability, and then I would directional towards the person I was trying to use it on.
Yeah.
And it would, like, cancel out.
And not to mention that not every Final Smash starts up the same way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, for example, you get a character like Mario. You press B, giant fireball goes across the screen. You get a character like, let's say, Corrin, who I didn't realize it for the longest time, their Final Smash is a counter. So you have to get hit by somebody first. A character where, like, Greninja, where his Final Smash starts up where he kind of, like, stomps on the floor and, like the floor, like, it's like a Japanese, like, floor mat pops up, like, pops you up into the air. And if they're not within, like, 3 feet in front of you, you're not going to hit him with it. Like, you know, a lot of them are really different like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, Marth, if you miss with his Final Smash, I'm pretty sure you can kill yourself. Like, he'll just fly across the screen if you don't hit
him. Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to learn what everybody does, and like, I'm also, I also did the spirit board for a while, which is actually really fun and kind of addicting, where you keep going through, you're always getting spirits, and you can choose, like 9 of them pop up, and you have a certain amount of time to choose which one you're going to do, and you're always unlocking stuff. It just seems like, even the classic mode.
It's all themed too, right?
I haven't,
like, everything is themed around what the spirit is. Like, he kind of, like, tries to mirror that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I was talking to Zach the other day, and he was like, I love how this works, because he told me that, like, one of the spirits he fought was Tron from Mega Man Legends. And if you know Tron, she rides in, like, a mech suit, and she has all her little surf bots, like, the little Lego-looking guys that follow her around and shit. In that fight, you fight against... Well, it's Bowser Jr., but his color skin is Wendy, like one of the Koopalings, mm-hmm. where she's in her little clown car, and then she has 3 tiny yellow Robs with her.
Yeah.
So it's like they kind of theme it around that character.
Yeah, which is so much fun. And you even see stuff like that. Well, you don't really see that in the classic mode, but in the classic mode, you do get like a different little adventure for each character.
And it's themed kind of like,
yeah.
For example, you play as Bayonetta, you're going to fight against characters like Pit, and Palutena is the last boss for that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously in Bayonetta, you're fighting angels and demons or whatever. And like,
right.
You fight like a big white Charizard, which is kind of mirrors the one dragon boss, or like a weird gray Ridley. Like, they kind of theme it, or like Wolf. Yeah. Nothing's really changed with him, but Wolf, everybody you fight in his path are all just like him, fighters that were cut from other versions of the game and didn't make it. Like, so people cut from Melee, people cut from Brawl, or Ken fights other Echo fighters. So it's not the same every time you go through, I guess it is the same, but it's not the same for every character.
Right, right.
Which is something I want to go off topic a little bit, I didn't like about the arcade mode in Dragon Ball FighterZ. Because in Dragon Ball FighterZ, there's like a couple, you can pick one mode where you fight 3 people, one where you fight 5 people, one where you fight 7 people. And there's different difficulties, but the 3 people, 5 people, 7 people, every single time you play, you fight the same people each time. And it's just like...
Yeah.
And I guess in the same way for Smash, but at least every character, it's different.
Yeah, and it keeps it really fun and interesting, and there's even different bosses. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm not even halfway through unlocking everybody, but every time I get to a boss, it's this different experience for the most part. Yeah.
And and some of them are really cool. Like, you know, if you care about these things, I'd, you know, either tune out for a minute here, but this is spoiler territory here, because, I mean, obviously this has been around, but, like, for example, if you play through classic mode as Link or even Young Link, you fight Ganon at the end. Like, Ocarina of Time Ganon, like yeah, big Ganon.
Yeah, yeah. And if you play through as Simon Belmont, you have to fight Dracula, and then you defeat you kill his health bar, and then he turns into like the beast form of Dracula.
Yeah.
At the end of actual Castlevania, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And some characters you fight, Gallium, who's one of the like original character bosses from the Subspace Emissary in Brawl. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's Master Hand and Crazy Hand. Fun fact, apparently the person who voices Master Hand for whatever voice clips he has is the person who voices Joker.
Oh.
So he's already in Smash.
Yeah.
So people could see that and be like, oh, this voice actor is credited here. That means this, but no, he's a different character. So you couldn't have called that if you're looking at it, which I think is pretty cool. But I haven't tried anything outside of really classic mode or just kind of Smash mode because, like, Thursday night, the game came out. I went over. We were just kind of playing around, trying to unlock characters. And then Friday, I had Friday off, so I spent the entire day being an asshole doing the exploit. With the exploit that they say is the fastest possible way to unlock all the characters, which does work, but I think it's bullshit to say it's the fast. I mean, I guess it is the fastest way to get everybody, but it takes a good while. Like, it took me. I unlocked all the characters by about 9:30 at night on Friday.
What is the exploit?
Basically, what it is I'm going to explain this probably not 100% accurately, but the basic gist of it is that, like, you start the game, you go into Smash mode, you play it for a few minutes, and then after, like, maybe 10 minutes or so, you finish a match, you'll get your first character. And once you unlock that first character, you close out your game on the home menu, go back in, play another quick match, get another character, and you keep resetting it. But what I've learned is that method is not 100%, like, consistent.
Mm-hmm. None of it
sometimes
is.
Sometimes I'm like, okay, this is working. I'll get 1, 2, 3, 4 characters, and then I'll do it, and then nothing happens for the next 5 matches I play.
Yeah.
So then at that point, I'm like, okay, what the fuck? So I'm like, you know what? This is getting tedious, so I would jump into classic mode, unlock a character, reset it, then try it the other way, and then it starts working again for a couple more characters. But obviously that still took me quite a while to do, even though I still got everybody within the first day. And apparently the day one patch that they gave you patches that out, so I didn't update my game until after I got everybody.
Yeah.
But that's one way to do it. I know there's multiple ways to do it, and that worked for me because I'm just impatient as fuck, and I want to get to playing out of a character as humanly possible. Because, like, World of Light, I'll get to at some point because I really don't, like, I know that everybody was clamoring for a fucking story mode in Smash Brothers, and I guess I get it. Like, Subspace Emissary was cool, but, like, I don't need to spend 20 hours doing a story mode in a fighting game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. If you want variety.
The same thing, though.
Yeah, the spirit board is probably the fastest way to get all the spirits.
And people were I see people complaining on, like, Facebook and stuff where they're like, you know, you give us this story mode, but I've yet to see one fucking cutscene outside the beginning. And it's like, did you not listen to what Sakurai told us during that one direct where he's like, you know, this story mode's more about fun than story, so here's this cutscene that shows you how everything happens, and just kind of use your imagination with the rest. He literally said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, obviously, again, spoilers from all the data mining, there are more cutscenes, but they're way at the end.
Yeah, but I think it's a blast. I mean, I'm really happy to have something, like, to switch between, or different modes, you know, just to be like, I want to do classic mode for a little bit and get some characters that way. But the first way I was unlocking characters was in adventure mode. And all the characters I unlocked in adventure mode carried through to classic mode. They're already unlocked for me there.
Yeah.
And one thing I've noticed. Like, go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead. Mine's just going to probably patch off of that.
So one thing I've noticed, aside from, you know, if you unlock a character in adventure mode, they stay unlocked for a classic mode. You don't have to run through, you know, the whole thing to unlock them. I wanted to get Simon Belmont, so you told me to beat the game with beat classic mode with Link, and then you get King K. Rool. And then if you beat it with him, you get Simon Belmont. But that actually, I beat it with Link, and I got to King K. Rool, but he beat me, so I didn't get to unlock him.
That's what I was going to say. In story mode, do you just get them, or do you have to beat them? Because the way I did it, you have to defeat them before you can unlock them.
Well, in story mode, you're beating them anyway.
Oh, because that's what slowed me down in the way that I did it, because some of them kicked my ass.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? That's what happened to me.
And you know, I can't let, yeah, especially because they won't let you know. You say you're not really good. Even, yeah. Like, I know what I'm doing, and they still, some of them, like, I had to fight King K. Rool 4 times before I unlocked him.
Well, here's like, the thing.
No, that was King DDD. Never mind. But, yeah.
Here's what they do for you, which I think is great. So I learned that sometimes I'm going to get through classic mode with a character and get to the character that I could unlock. You have to beat them, and then they beat me, and I lose the opportunity. And then if you play through again with that same character, they give you a different character at the end.
Yeah, and if you keep losing eventually, did you ever get the Challenger's Approach yet?
Yes, so I actually had I had like 4 characters that were, every time you lose to a challenger, you won't get the chance to fight them again until it randomly comes up. I don't know how to make it come up, but it eventually comes up. But if you back out, I had lost to 4 different characters. And what I learned is that you can back out of classic mode to like just the option screen within the vault where there's different game types to choose from. And there's a little door, a little like rainbow colored door on the bottom right hand side of the screen that says Challenger Approaches. And all of the challengers that you lost to are in that door, and you can fight them in the order that you lost to them.
And what I like about that specifically is if you have to go back and do that, say, you know, if you, for example, you know, you got to unlock King K. Rool, beat classic mode with him, and then you have to fight Simon Belmont with King K. Rool, who's a character you literally are playing for the first time. Whereas if you go into Challenger's Approach, you can pick whichever character you want to fight him with, so you have a better chance of beating them.
Yeah. So as far as like the formula goes to unlock certain characters, I was able to unlock Simon Belmont without unlocking King K. Rool.
Oh, yeah. That's just one way. I figured if you wanted to try to do it that way, I'd let you know you had that option.
Yeah. But, it seems like, I guess it, like the if you are, if you haven't tried to get like Simon Belmont or any character you're trying to unlock, and you see the formula online of like play through classic mode with this character and then get that character and then play through classic mode with them, you have like one chance to do that, or it changes the formula. So I had to beat it with Link to get a different challenger. I don't remember who it was, but it wasn't King K. Rool. And then I played through with that character. So it was like the character I unlocked with Link was the character I could use to unlock Simon, but it didn't matter. King K. Rool wasn't part of the equation.
Interesting. Maybe he was the next character after that then. I don't know, because they say that, at least with the way I did it, apparently, leading up to the game coming out, everybody was saying that the characters you get doing it the way I did it are random. And that's a bunch of bullshit, because when we were playing it, everybody was playing after the midnight launch, and we're all fighting each other. Some people are playing by themselves. Some people are just playing together. And people are getting characters at different speeds, but everybody's getting the same characters in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first character, if you do it my way, the first character you're going to get, no matter what, is always going to be Ness. And then after that, such and such, such, and you know. So knowing that, like, if you do it that way, some of the characters are way out there. Like, one of the last characters you get is, like, Palutena. And if you're a Palutena fan, don't do it that way, because you're going to be doing it for a while. Yeah. Ken's way at the end, too. Like, it's crazy.
But I'm having a lot of fun with Smash, so I don't think Smash sucks. I think it's really fun, and it's, like, really making me have a good Sunday. Like, literally, I played it last night, because I'm really stressed out, because we're, like, Jill and I are working on getting a house, and that's crazy, like, stressful. And last night, I got to play Smash for a little bit, and then I went to sleep, and I literally had a dream, reoccurring dream for the whole night, where like part of the listings I was seeing for houses was like, well, you can play Smash in this house. And like, so that
you
was
can't
like,
play Smash in this house. No, not allowed.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, nope. Well, on our list of things we have to have, it's like, well, we want, you know, Central Air, and I need to be able to play Smash Brothers in the house that we buy. So I woke up this morning and was like, I might not work out today. I might not even podcast today. All I want to do is sit there and play Smash, because it's really fun, and like the nostalgia is so good, and I love how it's not just like an ode to Nintendo anymore. It has so much from other properties that you're just getting this like collection of gaming history constant. Like the music is so good, and there's so much of it, and there's so many characters, and it just is like, a nice escape for the weekend to like just stick your head up its ass.
And like, obviously you're relatively not super familiar with the series, even though you're loving it. Mm-hmm. And then like someone like me, I've been consistently playing Smash Brothers, regardless of what level I'm playing at, from the first game all the way up until now. And I can say that with Smash Ultimate, the game, like the core gameplay, no matter what character you're playing, or even certain characters, I guess, specifically, not to really get into specifics, but the gameplay is so tight. It feels so good. It looks so good. Everything, like, it controls really well. Everything just feels like precise and impactful. It looks good. It sounds good. Like, honestly, like, I know I've never been really picky about it. Like, Smash 4 was great, but this game feels like Smash 4, but it also kind of feels a little bit like you're playing Melee in terms of how fast everything goes, mm-hmm. which I'm sure some people love. I think it's neat, but it's just, it's great. Like, it's one of the most solid fighting games I've ever played, and I've played a lot of fighting games.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And it's almost like, to me, it's almost like not even a fighting game. It's just kind of like this unique
party game.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very, very arcade-y.
Whatever you want it to be. And one thing I want to mention I thought was pretty funny. This is not directly related to the game, but like I went to the midnight launch, which confused me. I guess maybe it's a Nintendo thing. But this is the first game I've gotten the night before in like a year and a half where it wasn't a 9 o'clock release.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess in this case was fine because it gave me a chance to watch most of, if not all, of the Game Awards. But like, because I was literally on my phone watching the Persona thing in line at GameStop. Not, which what I was getting to here is not that the line there, at least at my store, I went to fucking mattered because like, you know, they do the thing that they've always been doing for the past few years where you go there, you try to get in there early, you pay off your game, they give you a receipt, they give you a group number. So that way, you know, there's certain people in group one, there are people in group two. That way, you know, when time's to come bring everybody out, everybody's already paid. And there's each group has this many people. So, you know, that there's appropriate amount of people at each register. You go up or whatever. I was in group two, so I was willing to wait. But then we get there, and like 10 minutes before the game comes out, the manager comes out and she's like, hey, we're going to do a group zero. If anybody can go and do the survey on their receipt and prove to me that you did it, you jump ahead of everybody else.
Oh, my God. That would piss me off.
Yeah, and my one buddy there, Isaac, he was the first person to do it. So he fucking got right up there. He was the first person to get the game. I did it because I was like, why the fuck not? I'm staying here anyways.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I was maybe a sixth person in line. It's not that I'm really going to count numbers in line. I don't care because I know it's going to move quickly. I know I'm going to get the game. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be that guy. And because of that, you know, I got to the front of the line. And, you know, they had some neat stuff they gave out to, like, because, you know, GameStop, I feel like people make fun of GameStop. Because it's like, oh, here's the pre-order bonuses. But, you know, when I went and bought the game, they gave me these fucking little shithead things, the little Smash Brothers logo caps for your Joy-Cons. I think I'm going to put on there. I actually have two of them because they gave them to me when I paid for it. And then a different person gave it to me when I picked up the game.
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, I'll just take it. Why not? Just figure maybe you want one or I can be a jackass and deprive somebody else of one.
I'll definitely
and
take
then,
those.
You know, they gave me this fucking poster too, which I thought was pretty neat. Like, I'm really not a poster person anymore, especially now that I have a much smaller space here and I have to share it with somebody else. I don't have a lot of wall space, but I thought this was cool. It was a neat little simplistic just Final Destination. You get the logo. I might put it in a little frame hanging on my door or my wall somewhere just because, you know, it's cool. Even though I really hate the ESRB and Nintendo Switch logos just intruding on my cool little Final Destination, but I mean, it's still a neat poster. In the back is just like,
oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool too. Yeah, you know, it's not too big of a poster either. I have to measure it to get a frame, but like, you know, I hate when they give me this giant ass poster with it's just bullshit. Like, and some people are into that, and that's cool. I'm not taking it away from anybody, but like, I don't need a double sided crazy ass poster. Like, if they give the only thing I would have liked more than is if they gave us like a poster of like the banner that they kept adding to as the characters.
Like, I'm
sure you
can
get that. Yeah, that'd be cool. But what do you know? I'm not looking for this crap. I'm looking to buy the game.
Sure.
And I bought two of the new amiibos. I ordered them online like 2 days before the game came out, and they shipped yesterday. They should be here on Tuesday. I got Wolf and Ridley, which will put me over 70 amiibos, and I'm just ashamed of myself for that. But what are you going
to
do?
I'm definitely going to want to get – we only have one amiibo in the house. Actually, I used to have Pikachu, and I used to have Gold Mario too, but we sold them both. Because I wasn't a fan of Smash on Wii U, and I just didn't feel any connection to the amiibos at that point.
Didn't you guys both come and get – because I remember you guys came and joined me in line. Didn't you get Gold Mario to sell it?
Yes. Yes. But I bought Pikachu to use them. But yeah. I didn't like Smash. I didn't like Wii U. It just wouldn't – I think I part of the reason why I enjoy Smash Ultimate so much is because I enjoy my Switch so much. Mm-hmm. So they just go hand in hand. And now I'm like, we do have a Mega Man amiibo just sitting in a box. And I would pick up Simon Belmont. I would definitely pick up Joker. And
Simon, I think, is coming later. I don't know if they showed him off yet, because I know characters like Ice Climbers and King K. Rool are coming in like February or some shit. But, you know, they have Wolf, a new Inkling, and then Ridley. I don't know, because I don't want to try, because I know what the way amiibos work, I don't want to play with a million different ones. Like, I kind of want to pick one of a character I like and see if I can get it to be as difficult to beat as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And this time I'm going with fucking Isabelle here, because she's the best little character. Although, hang on a second.
Don't fall.
Because, you know, it's not like I don't have fucking 300 more things to choose from here.
Oh, my God. Why are they in a box?
Because I was cleaning the shelf and I haven't put them back up yet. But there's about 70 of them in there. There's, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know. But I was using them the other day, actually. I haven't really trained any of them yet. But I was like, I unlock, because I noticed that, you know, you don't unlock the Mii Fighters. You just kind of go in and create them. And once you create one of whichever class, it just kind of pops up on your screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to sit here and make Mii's. I had some fun Mii Fighters on my Wii U and 3DS. So I looked it up, and you basically have to fucking go in there, go into your Wii U system settings where amiibos are, and you can register, you know, your owner to the amiibo. You can put a Mii to it. So I go in there, scan an amiibo, register one of my Mii's to it, shut off the Wii U, go back into the Switch, go into the system settings, and then scan, you know, go to create a Mii. And when you create a Mii character in the hidden secret Mii creator I didn't know was there, you can either create it or whatever, or do it random, and then the only options is, like, scan from amiibo. So I scan the amiibo on there, and then that Mii pops in there, and then I can create a Mii fighter with it, which is good, because I had some stupid-ass Mii characters, because with the Wii U and 3DS, people would make the weirdest characters ever, or, like, any, like, actual person or whatever fucking fake character, and then you can assign a QR code to it, and anybody could have scanned it and got it on their Wii U or their 3DS.
Right.
Which was cool, and that's where I got some of these characters, like cute anime characters, or, like, you know, actual people. Like, one of my characters was fucking Mr. Wilson from the Dennis the Menace, Walter Matthau, thing. And I put him on there. I was beating people up, whatever. I have Hank Hill, a character I had to bring over still. Although, I had so much fun with that one because I made stupid characters like the Hankling and Hankachi and Hankles. But as far as I'm aware, a lot of the Mii costumes from that and some more are in Smash Ultimate, but none of the third-party ones are there. So there's no, like, Chocobo hat, there's no Heihachi costume, there's no Knuckles costume, so I lose that on that, so I'm going to have to get creative. But the Mii Fighters, you know, people, I feel like people write them off, but they're fun characters. Each of them have, like, you know, four moves for each of the four slots, so there's not a ton of customization, but all of the moves are useful and are kind of derived from some of the other characters. Like, for example, the Mii Gunner, all of their options for down B are, like, Reflector Shield, which is, like, Fox, Falco, Wolf, or Barrier that absorbs and heals, like Ness or Lucas or whatever the other one is. So, you know, some of them are indicative of other characters, but there's still some unique stuff, which makes them a lot of fun to play, especially because you can put whatever the fuck character in there you want if you know what you're doing.
So anything else on our Smash roundup?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. The only thing I want to do is play it. So
yeah, same. So we're gonna end this soon.
Yeah.
Did you ever play that fighting game Omen of Sorrow? The code?
No, I did download it. I'll probably start it up this week because I got it that night. Well, I got it when you gave it to me, which was the night before. But then that night, you know, I was just kind of forgot about it because it was like Game Awards, Smash, and that's between that and working yesterday. That was my whole weekend, so I haven't had time to play it yet. But I did get it. I will stream a little bit of it at some point so we can get that on there. But it does look cool. I watched the trailer for it when you told me about it, and it looks like a neat, edgy, spooky fighting game. It looks solid. I mean, if a game like Fight of Gods can be fun, I'm sure this can be good, even if it's not perfect, but, you know.
Yeah. Something to check out. I threw up two little videos of some indie games on our YouTube channel. This game, Yuso, which is, like, it's actually kind of fun. It was a little puzzle game with all these little, like, little bubbles, little, like, smiley face circles that you could kind of, like, pop them. And they're different colors. And the idea is basically you pop them, and when they pop, they also pop like colors. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're changing the colors as you're popping them. You need to basically get it down to where you can pop them all with one, like one last press is going to pop the remaining. You know what I'm saying? So you can't leave like one hanging out over here. And I thought that was pretty good. I actually played it for like 15 minutes until, I made one of those like first 15 minute videos. I threw that up on our YouTube page. I would check that out. I also played this game called Grab the Bottle with it, which there's actually a lot of Let's Plays of, but I wasn't really feeling like talky that day when I was recording. So
yeah,
I did another like first 15 minutes of that, which is a funny game where you're basically a baby in a crib and your bottle of milk is like somewhere in the house. And your arm grows like a snake, and your arm just keeps getting longer and like winding through the room.
That's creepy.
And if it touches anything, it's like, you know, you have like three strikes of like, if it touches something, you like get a strike, and it pulls back a little bit and you get a chance to like keep winding it. And so you're basically solving puzzles, but it's in a funny way. And you will get like little items throughout the level that you can interact with to like move parts of the level to make it easier for you to navigate. And then once you get the bottle, it like unwinds all the way back to the baby bottle. Mm-hmm. And like the animation is really like kind of off kilter. Like the baby, it just looks weird and it's a pretty wacky game. Yeah, I think it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's obviously an indie game, it's a lower budget game, but the art direction is kind of wacky on purpose.
Is it better or worse than Poopy Wars?
Better than Poopy Wars, yeah. Well, Poopy Wars.
What if that game looks like now?
Poopy Wars just had some coding issues. But this game, as a puzzle game, it's fine. But as like a game to do Let's Plays of and like screw around with your friends is like something that you think mm-hmm. is funny. It's worth. I'm not sure how much it costs, but we got a code for it. But it was still kind of fun.
Sounds like a budget title, honestly. Yeah. I can't imagine it would cost much, but not to take away from the quality of the game, but a game like that doesn't sound like it's going to cost very much.
No, but it is something to screw around with your friends, especially if you're doing Let's Plays, if you have like a Let's Play channel or if you like to stream. Throwing that up and like playing it by yourself wasn't, I would imagine, not as fun as doing like a Let's Play with it. And,
I can imagine.
Yeah. I don't know what else there is to talk about. Oh, I played a little bit of Red Dead Online.
Oh, yeah?
But I didn't really get too deep into it because it is a beta, and they're already going back to, like, the drawing board. Like, eventually, when it launches outside of the beta, they mentioned that your progress might not carry over, which happens a lot with betas, but I didn't really...
See, I get that, but I feel like that makes more sense in a beta that is happening, like, before yes. the game it comes from launches rather than, like... Okay, I played through the whole story of Red Dead Redemption. Now I'm trying the beta for a little while, and then I'm just going to have to start over again, even though, like, I don't know.
No, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think Grand Theft Auto Online did that, but I don't know if they had a beta.
Typically,
it just came out, was broken, and then they fixed it.
Yeah, I mean, this made it... I didn't think it was going to be, like, an early access. It's like, your game is out, and a month later, you launch the online multiplayer... But it's a beta that where you might lose all your progress. I'm not going to get mm-hmm. in that and start grinding. You know, like you said, it would be one thing to put the beta out before the game launches, let people feel around and make their complaints and or have their fun.
Like Fallout 76.
Like almost every other game. And so then I started to feel like maybe – I think the messaging was just kind of off with it because then I started to think maybe it was like an early access thing where like wasn't Fortnite in beta – or early access, or
Fortnite
still is
technically still in early access.
Yeah, so...
And it's the biggest game in the fucking world.
Right.
Speaking of which, one comment with that is, like, I feel like I didn't mention this or we didn't think about it, but during the Game Awards, they showed off the creative mode or whatever it is, and they had the little trailer where they had the drive-in theater, and then this arena or big, flat, open space just falls down and crushes it. Mm-hmm. Apparently that happened in the game live at that moment. So if you were playing Fortnite as that happened in your game, which I think is one of my favorite things about what Fortnite does. Cause it's like, they have all these events that happen one time. And if you happen to be there to witness it, you see it.
Yeah. Fortnite is really cool. Neat. I don't play Fortnite really anymore.
You should play it more. Cause I dabbled in it a little bit a couple months ago. It's fucking awesome game. Like, you know, I know we played it so much when it first came out. And then we dropped it off, and then it became a joke for a little while, even though, like, it still is. People talk shit, but, like, I think it earns every fucking bit of popularity that it has, especially now that's much more of a fully fledged game, because there is so much to that game and they're constantly adding to it. Like, when I picked it up playing with my buddy there a couple months ago, I'm like, this is a different game than what I played
eight months ago.
Like, it's completely different. It looks different. It feels different. The map is different. There's different items. There's vehicles now. Like, I was impressed. You know, not that that's new news or anything, but still.
Yeah. Two things I actually thought about talking about. To sum up Red Dead Online, I'll get to it when I get to it. I don't feel compelled to jump into it and, like, really be into this thing. I liked Red Dead well enough, but I don't feel like it's any sort of comparable to GTA Online, where you can jump in and sandbox and do crazy shit with your friends. It seems like people just run around screwing with each other and screwing with people who aren't their friends even more.
And if you want to, there's so much more you can do with the game mode stuff, which I never really quite figured out, because I feel like unless you've been playing consistently since the start, there's a barrier to entry with a lot of the new content and, like, quote-unquote story missions they add to Grand Theft Auto Online, because everything involving that, as well as a lot of the cool vehicles in the game, are fucking ludicrously expensive. Like, to the point where it's like, I still log in and play Grand Theft Auto every couple of weeks just because, you know, I love the Grand Theft Auto, and I go online because it's like, okay, now that I have stuff that I can work, like I have a hard room with my own cars, I have a decent arsenal of guns, I'm like fucking level 25 or whatever, not a very high level, but I never get into any of this cool shit where I see people flying around on hover bikes shooting people with missiles. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's like $18 million. And even so, like, they give out money like crazy in that game. Every time I log into that game, it's like, oh, here's your login bonus of like $800,000. And I'm like, cool, I have a lot of money now. And then I go onto the little internet browser in the game, it's like, nope, you're a quarter of the way to getting into the current content of the game. Good luck with that. I'm like, why is this? I don't understand why everything is so expensive. I guess they probably want you to buy the shark cards to get that money.
Yeah.
But still, that's the one thing I don't like about that game, and why I didn't really pick it up and play it until I rebought the game on PS4. Like, it came out like a year before the PS4 launched on the previous generation. I played through the game. When GTA Online launched, I tried playing it. It was broken, and then I just wrote it off until I got a PS4 and tried it there. But I feel like that's a detriment to me at that point, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, but anyways, I don't think Red Dead Online appeals to me in the way that GTA Online did.
That's why the game in general doesn't appeal to me at all. Like,
yeah, and so I have no interest hopping into a beta where I might lose all my progress anyway. When it comes out of beta, I'll probably hop in and maybe do some Let's Plays there. Yeah. But, you know, I watched the Kind of Funny presentation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I had every opportunity to watch it yesterday because nothing was happening at work, but I forgot about it and watched Pawn Stars all day.
Yeah, so that was actually really good. It's not 2 hours. It was like an hour and a half, maybe.
It was like rapid fire.
Yeah, and they actually did a really good job. Not really any major, major announcements that I can remember. You know, nothing that stood out for like any of the games that I play. But they did drop trailers for Super Meat Boy Forever. I think a release date for that. Like, a bunch of release dates for games, a bunch of DLC stuff. They announced a Danganronpa collection, like trilogy collection, is coming to PS4. They had a lot of good announcements, and I would definitely check that out. I would hope they do it next year. They probably will, because they would have an entire year to plan for it this time, because they started planning for that in September.
Speaking of, you know, games like that, like, I feel like I just want to get a reaction out of you by bringing this up, but I feel like, you know, Elder Scrolls Legends, didn't they announce that for coming to consoles? It still hasn't come to consoles. And then Elder Scrolls Blades got delayed into 2019.
Oh, yeah. So Elder Scrolls Blades is delayed to 2019, which I can only assume is because of the Fallout 76 blowback. If you haven't heard by now, Fallout 76 is getting some of the worst reviews ever for a Bethesda Game Studio game. And not only that, like, a lot of people are demanding refunds. They're saying the game is basically broken, unplayable. I've heard some people say they enjoy it because they like Fallout, so it's a little more Fallout.
Make your own fun in that game, pretty much.
People are, for the majority, disappointed, and it seems like a huge step in the wrong direction for Bethesda. They tried to, you know, when Elder Scrolls Online launched, it was launched by ZeniMax, and I'm sure they worked a little bit, like consulted with Bethesda Game Studios, but for the most part, Bethesda Game Studios isn't necessarily making the whole game. They took the engine that Elder Scrolls games run and Fallout games run on and tried to build network code into it, which was probably a huge mistake. And they don't have experience in that direction, and I'm sure 6 months from now or a year from now, Fallout 76 will have its own, have more stability, but it'll also be powered by like microtransactions that I don't want to get involved in.
And that's what I think. Like, obviously, I think, I'm going to compare that to two other games, but I feel like compared to those two, this one definitely had a much bigger backlash. But like, I think a year change down the road, Fallout 76 is going to end up being like a game like No Man's Sky or Sea of Thieves, where they had really lackluster, disappointing launches. But now, if you either stayed on board or decided to come back a year or how much long later, they're like different games. Well, I know No Man's Sky is pretty much a different game now. Sea of Thieves, they're definitely working on adding a lot to. I hear a lot about the neat stuff they're adding to it, even though I don't know if it's that much better because of it, but they're definitely remedying it. But I don't know. I can imagine Fallout 76 is going to take that same route, but I don't know if they're ever going to fully recover from this.
Yeah, it's a very disappointing thing to see from my favorite game developer of all time, especially because it derails, I would imagine, their progress towards getting out Elder Scrolls Blades on mobile, at least. Elder Scrolls Legends, which is actually done by a different studio, was supposed to come to console sometime over the past year, and that never happened, which is disappointing because I really wanted to play that on Switch. And then you have to assume that this is going to, cleaning up this mess is going to get in the way of the launch of Starfield, which I don't really care about Starfield, but that game needs to come out before they will get to Elder Scrolls 6. So they're a huge studio now. They're a lot bigger than they used to be, and they probably have teams working on everything anyway, but they're going to have to go, they've had for the last 3 years, at least, an E3 press conference. And that was a big deal.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're great. And what are they going to do now? Like, this hurts them so bad. And not only was the game just shitty, they had a lot of bad PR with the collector's edition, Snafu, which there was like a $200 collector's edition that came with a helmet. It was supposed to come with a nice canvas book bag. Then there's a picture of it. When you order it, it's like there in the image gallery. And most of the people who weren't influencers got this shitty nylon bag.
But not to derail you here, but they did have that whole thing where they're like, everybody got a nylon bag, and then they were like, what is this bullshit? And then they're like, oh yeah, that was a prototype and didn't end up being cost effective realistically, so we had to change it. And that was a whole thing. And then the influencers, as far as I'm aware, at events leading up to the game coming out, they got a canvas bag,
right?
Like you were saying, but as far as I'm aware, that was a different bag.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what it looked like, but I just heard the story
it's a canvas bag still, though. I know what you mean. Yeah. Not to derail what you were saying, but continue.
So then Bethesda to calm people down, gave them $5 worth of in-game currency, which was like nothing worth. Yeah, nothing.
$200 you spent on the game.
And, not only is the game shit, but you didn't get what was supposed to be included in the collector's edition that could at least hold some kind of value. So now they are trying to get people canvas bags, I think. And, however long that takes, just like cleaning up the mess. You've got an oil spill that is going to really screw up your forecast. And I don't imagine this. E3 is pretty far away, but it's only six months away. So they've got to really, really fix their messaging before they get to E3 and they come across as, well, we're doing this game and then that game and then that game. When it's like, no one asked for Fallout 76, and you showed up with that out of nowhere off of someone's idea.
Yep. And then you have, what's their name in there? Let me see here. Obsidian, with their Outer Worlds game they announced at the Game Awards that we forgot to talk about, where it's basically Fallout New Vegas in space, but it's not made by Bethesda. It's like, and I feel like when they announced it, they made a point to be like, hey, we're making this game, but remember, we made Fallout, but we're not Bethesda.
Right.
Like, I feel like that was just like a huge like middle finger to Bethesda to be like, we're going to outdo you here because we created this series and you fucked it up now. So now we're going to make our own new IP.
Yeah. So I, you know, I love Bethesda and I love the games that Todd Howard directs. And I really hope they get their head out of their ass because I wasn't a fan of Fallout 4 necessarily. And really, I haven't seen any, they haven't given me anything since Skyrim. I mean, yes, I have Skyrim Special Edition on PS4 and Skyrim VR, but it's still Skyrim. It's a game that came out in 2011. And all I want is Elder Scrolls 6, and all they do is kick that further down the road. We're going to get to a point where we're already 7 years out from the release of Skyrim, and we're like 5 years away still from Elder Scrolls 6. So now
I mean, I think Elder Scrolls Blades might have this, and I guess you Elder Scrolls Legends, but do any of these other Elder Scrolls games kind of scratch that itch for you? Like, you know, ESO, or like if you've played Legends, and then do you think Blades might help with that, at least kind of like distract you a little bit? Or
well, I think Blades would help. It's nice to know that it's so far away because I always want to go back, and I have unfinished business in every Elder Scrolls game because they're just so big. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to drop everything and just spend all my time playing Elder Scrolls 6. Like I want that game more than anything.
Plenty of time to get your affairs in order. So
yeah, but you know, I just
in the house by then.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that like you know I'll be 40 by the time the game comes out. Like you're talking 7 years plus maybe 4 or 5 years, 11, 12 years in between games. So that's too long. That's a curse.
That's some
too.
Kingdom Hearts bullshit.
Right, and that's you know that's some like Final Fantasy 15 shit where it's not gonna live up to what it could have been if you just put it out like maybe 5 years after. But there's that. And the last thing I want to talk about was I saw Wreck-It Ralph 2 last night. And I won't spoil anything, but I really enjoyed Wreck-It Ralph 1 as a game about video games or a movie about video games. Because when I was growing up, I loved things. It was hard to get content like that. Like there was that CGI only show called Reboot that was on TV.
Reboot.
And there was Captain Reboot. Nintendo, the Game Master, Captain N, which is a comic book and a TV show.
There was The Wizard.
There was Tron. Like those things were very few and far between. And it was great to see Wreck-It Ralph when it first came out have like Sonic in it and like Zangief and Q-Bert and all these characters.
Yeah.
And it was about these characters from all these games live in the arcade. They live in this little video game world where they all live together and they communicate and whatever. And I thought the obvious direction to go in would be like online games afterwards.
Or console
right?
games.
Console games, online games, you know, they get out into like the networking aspect of it all, but keep it in with games. So Ralph Breaks the Internet is not that. It is only
it's a giant meme, basically what I heard.
Yeah, it's just about internet memes. It's about Twitter and social media, YouTube, Spotify, eBay. It's about websites, and it has really nothing to do with video games. They go to a video game that's kind of like Grand Theft Auto, like GTA Online.
Slaughter Race, it's called, right? I haven't seen the movie myself.
Those are the highest quality scenes in the movie when they go to Slaughter Race, and it's basically, you know, it feels like Wreck-It Ralph 2. It feels like an actual sequel in that franchise.
It's a game.
Everything else is just they kind of personify like pop-up ads or like people, and that's not what they did in Wreck-It Ralph.
You know who
1.
Did that like 15 years ago? It was fucking the Chappelle Show. Okay,
it was really poorly done, and I think it probably is the death of the franchise.
It needed to go anywhere past the first one, honestly, because like I haven't seen it honestly up until you guys saw it. I hadn't heard really overwhelmingly negative thing about it, but leading up to it I kept an open mind, but I still, even knowing what I know about it, having not seen it, I still think that the first movie achieved everything it set out to do and did not need a sequel. But that's not how things work in, you know, this day and age, unfortunately.
Right. Especially at Disney, and you can tell that the writers probably had, you know, a good layout as to how they're going to keep this a video game franchise and bring in more video game characters. And like, you know, that's an audience that doesn't really have that type of, you know, as far as Disney goes, that slice of the pie for that demographic it's not really there. And you can tell corporate came in and was like, no, your movie's going to be about the social media, so we can do a bunch of what's funny now, but not funny it's in 5 years.
A movie without a fourth wall is what it is.
And they also came in and they were like, you have to have all of our franchises in your movie. So they've got all the Disney princesses and Nightmare Before Christmas, and they've got Star Wars, and they've got all this shit. None of that's video games. Like, they really lost the point of, like, doing a video game mashup movie that's, like, cute and arcadey, and making it a Disney mashup.
Yeah.
So that really,
which could have been its own thing if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like, they have every opportunity to make that its own movie. And honestly, like, I just said it before, I don't think there needed to be a sequel. And we both weighed in just a second ago, too. Like, you said you thought the natural way to go would have been online gaming. I thought, like, consoles. And I guess both of those could factor in. Is, like, if you had to make a sequel to Wreck-It Ralph, I think the whole theme of a sequel should have been the idea that, you know, the death of the arcade.
Right.
Like, how arcades are gone. Like, obviously, there was one there, regardless of what vague time period that movie takes place in. I feel like a good story would have been, okay, no one's coming to the arcade anymore, and now games are disappearing from the thing, or the like, I feel like they had to deal with, like, their world shrinking in, kind of like, how do we survive now? Like, that could have been cool.
Yeah, but instead it's just basically there's a part broken on the Sugar Rush machine, and they are trying to get it off eBay. Which, you know, it's not a horrible concept, yeah, but it really was just like, it's just a Disney jerk-off fest. Like, it's just Disney. Like, all of the stronger franchises for Disney placed in this as a commercial for all those franchises. Like, it's clear to that Wreck-It Ralph is just a throwaway franchise for Disney. And that is disappointing, because that was probably my favorite franchise if I had to choose a Disney movie that I liked. It's the
second
one about
for
video
me,
games.
But definitely a really good for what it is specifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking about, like, you know, the whole idea of the internet you mentioned, like, and I just mentioned too that, like, the vague time frame, but I don't know if this is, like, a supposed to be an indicator of it or not. But I mean, when the arcade owner there, what's his name? Litwack, when he goes online, isn't his computer that he gets, like, an early 2000s iMac?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's just supposed to be like, oh, he's outdated, or if that's when this is supposed to take place. But then again, there wouldn't be like Twitter and shit. So, right. You know.
Yeah, and tons of YouTube jokes and whatever. But I'm out of liquid, and I'm out of shit to talk about.
I have a little bit of liquid. I mean, I don't have anything to talk about, because I've just been, I don't know, I'm rambling. I always ramble because I'm a professional, you know.
That's fine. But so we'll end it there. Thanks for listening to everybody and subscribing and watching our videos on YouTube. You can get it on YouTube. You can get it on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and fucking maybe Spotify. I don't know.
Yep. And we have, obviously, we're here on Twitch. I recommend, if you want something stupid, go look in our clips. There's a wonderful clip of me falling out of my chair while I'm playing Smash Brothers. That's pretty fun. But
I got to get that on YouTube. But yeah, you know, so Smash thumbs up, Wreck-It Ralph thumbs down, Fallout 76, I wish it was a mistake.
Fallout 76 doesn't have a thumb.
It's awful. It's awful. It's all just bad. But we'll see you in a couple weeks, probably.
Hopefully before the end of the year, but it's December 9th, and who knows what the fuck's going to happen over the next couple weeks. So
yeah.
Either way, we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah. But this has been episode 56 of the Industry Outsiders Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Lowry. With me has been Josh Hensel.
Later.
And we'll see you in a little bit.